what's so extraordinary is this country has just has made such leaps and bounds in terms of the average standard of living for the average person, and it's something that the Australian people should be proud of and they should hold on to. I mean, they have a tendency to copy America and borrow all the bad ideas from America, and they usually borrow their bad ideas from America after they've been thoroughly discredited in America. And America's going through a crisis with the very nature of its democracy. You know, it's the oldest surviving democracy, but it's rapidly becoming an oligarchy. There is, I think, a new rebellion brewing in the United States, but at this point it's pretty politically inchoate, and it's a country that is not of the people, for the people and by the people, but of the rich, for the rich and by the rich. That's what's happened, and some people are waking up to it.
How's that come about?
Well, it's happened in ebbs and flows in American history. There was the Gilded Age, for example, at the turn of the 20th century, in the late 19th century. McKinley represented the plutocrats of the day. He, of course, was assassinated. And then Teddy Roosevelt, who was an accidental president, who was a progressive Republican, but a progressive Republican, brought in an age of reform. They busted the trust, they busted the Standard Oil Trust, etc. And then the pendulum swung back in the 20s, the Roaring 20s, when the disparity in income grew, and then it all crashed in 1929, and they had the Depression, and then the Depression culminating in World War II, the pendulum swung back in the direction of more social justice, more of a social democracy, and America effectively was a social democracy from about 1944 to about 1977. Then Reagan came in and swung the pendulum back the other way, and that's where we are at the moment. So presumably, because of these ebbs and flows of history, we will have a new progressive age, hopefully, because we're heading in a pretty bad direction at the moment. But Australia, by contrast, has always been a pretty sound social democracy, but again, because we borrow the worst ideas from America, I can see it happening here, particularly with this new government, and its policies are reminiscent of George W. Bush, who was a thoroughly discredited American president.
Do you have a sense that it's a more nationalistic community in Australia now?
Well, it's certainly jingoistic in terms of the way the media presents this ridiculous sideshow in Iraq. And it's very different in the U.S. The American people are quite jaded about the Iraq and Afghanistan. They feel badly burned by those two wars. They can't wait to get out of it. And they're very and by the way, President Obama promised to get America out. He did, and he's extremely reluctant to get dragged back in. And to some extent, he's been forced to by a kind of punditry and jingoism in the American press. The people are very conflicted over there. On the one hand, they are tired of foreign wars and wasted treasure and lives. But on the other hand, they want their president to be macho, and they've been told that he's a bit of a wimp. So he's had to assert himself by bombing. God knows what they're bombing, but they're bombing. And whether that would work at all, that doesn't seem to be, nobody much is asking those questions. But it probably doesn't hurt the Democrats to be bombing. It's an unfortunate fact. But, you know, there's nothing like going to war to increase your poll numbers.
And you stress a jingoism of the press. What's the genesis of that?
I don't know. It's probably, you could put it down to one person, Rupert Murdoch. I mean, he's had a toxic effect on the United States, on Britain. The inquiries into the scandals over hacking are extraordinary. The fact that the guy's not in jail is, to me, amazing. Everything that was revealed in Britain indicates a moral chasm of horror and cynicism. That's who they are, and that's what they represent. They want people stupid. They want passive consumers. They don't want active citizens. They are propagandists. I mean, I used to work in the Soviet Union during the Cold War, and I knew a lot of the reporters for TASS and Pravda, and I always felt sorry for them that they had to toe the party line. But in a democracy, the idea that you have these journalistic whores that are working for a political party, whether it's the Liberal Party in Australia or the Republican Party in the United States, to me is an insult to democracy and a disgrace to journalism. And the young people in the United States, the millennials, etc., don't trust the media anymore. Most of them get their political information from Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. So the landscape is changing. The spectrum that I work in is public radio, and that's a very growing spectrum. They've doubled their audience now in the last decade. On the commercial side, you've had nothing but these Alan Jones types. You know, there's a guy called Rush Limbaugh and all of his clones. And they've sort of reached their zenith in terms of hate radio and, you know, poisonous propaganda. There's a change underway, but in general, people are extremely ill-educated in the United States and ill-informed by a media that's controlled by about six or seven monopolies, most of whom would prefer infotainment over news. News is to their bottom line is an expense. Investigative journalism is no longer exists because it's too expensive. You just get a bunch of lawsuits, so they hate, the owners of the press hate that. So there's not a lot to be optimistic about. But in terms of the public radio and public television, to a lesser extent, it's growing. And I hope to be a part of that growth.